Well, just we were within at least 5 minutes, no more than 5 minutes from leaving, when two policemen came. They had sent the dishwasher down to the police barracks, apparently, that was about a mile down the road. And they came and said, you know, this is against, you know, very officious. Show me your, I'd forgot. They asked some question, and we looked at each other, rolled our eyes, and answered. And then said, show me your driver's license. And reluctantly, the three of them did. And I was going to do it, I'm sure. But I said, I want to ask you a question. Now, show me your license. And I said it again. They arrested me. And people always want to know, what were you going to ask? And I really don't know. I think I was really stalling because it hurt me so much to comply with this. So, of course, then I didn't cooperate. They carried me out to the police car. And the others followed in our car. And this was in Elkton, Maryland. I shall never forget it. And they stopped the car in front of the jail and told me to get out. And am I going home? Nope. Well, then I'm not going to get out. So they put, there's something, I think they call them twisters. They're handcuffs, but they have little points in them. And they twisted that on my mind. And I hollered, it hurt. And the others came over to complain, and they arrested them. So all four of us were arrested in Elkton, Maryland, carried up to the jail. They tried to fingerprint us. We wouldn't, so they would move us from one place to another and open our fingers and do that sort of thing. They took us to jail, to court twice, and we would not cooperate. We didn't take part in it, and they would take us back. We were only 50 miles from Philadelphia, so, you know, you get one call or something, so we called, and they started the Robinson-Nelson Committee. People would come down and demonstrate, and so on. They took us back to jail each time, twice, because we wouldn't participate. And then we were not eating, and they permitted some people to come in to see us. It was in all the papers and stuff, because Route 40 was quite something, it was notorious. Then on the 12th day, they took us out of the cells. They put us in a police car and they started driving. And when we were out some ways and tried to find out what we were going, they were taking us to Crownsville Mental Hospital. And we thought, oh my Lord, they'll bury us there and nobody will ever know where we are. So we got to Crownsville. And the director of the place, his first name was Charles, he's been dead for some years now. I shall never forget him, but I can't remember his last name. But he came out, and he knew about the case. And he was so gentle. He had wheelchairs come out and take us into the jail, into the facility. And we were given rooms, and we had unlimited visitors. Well, first of all, that night, we talked long into the night, he said, of course, there's nothing wrong with you, but I'll keep you for a little while. And so we could have all the visitors we want, and we had ice cold water. There was the psychiatrist was upset with us. He had been in Germany, during the Holocaust. And he said, you're killing yourselves because you're not eating. You should eat. But after 2 days, Charles said, I really can't justify keeping you anymore. But I'll ask you one thing. Would you please, I don't want to disturb the patients, so would you please not have them come in here and carry you out? So we walked to the front door, and then we sat down. And of course, they came and took us back to jail. So let's see, that was took us back to jail. And then in the couple of days, they took us back to court, and they proceeded with jury trials for each one of us. They had to go out in the street and find some more jurors because they didn't have enough people.